I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to an episode of The Memo. This is Wednesday, November 11th. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Lauren Wood today. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Brad is, Brad okay?
Who knows where Brad is?
Is he all right?
He's worried about the reveal of his middle name.
Well, it's going to happen with or without him today. I can tell you that much. Stay tuned for the end of the episode to find out Brad Locke's middle name. We're excited to share it with you. Happy Veterans Day to everyone here in the room. That was our producer, Chris Kiefer, as you heard a moment ago. We've got a few things to go over today. Not a huge show. Well, we expect that tomorrow. Apparently, tomorrow is going to be our two-hour extravaganza episode with everybody that wasn't able to or canceled at the last minute today. But we've got a few things to go over today, specifically talking Veterans Day events. Scott Morris joining us to talk about his story on the front page of the paper on Wednesday. And Jenna Parsons joining us from the food section to talk about a few things, including a new food truck coming to the area. So I'm sure I'll be hungry by the end of the let's face it, I'm already hungry
barbecue,
right now as it is. Yep. And your coffee smells fantastic, by the way.
Oh, it's delicious.
Brad's never does.
Wonderful.
So I'm usually fine.
Well, mine's full of sugar and
creamer.
Well,
that's probably why it smells so good right now. Yeah. That's good. So that would clink. I have nothing. I had an orange juice, but I drank it.
Smell, wafting.
I had to be up early to take the child to be on TV this morning for her.
What was she on TV for?
Ballet group.
That's exciting. So was it her first brush with fame on TV?
I guess. I don't think she's ever been on TV before.
She's been in the newspaper.
She has been in the newspaper. Yeah. And let's face it, that's way more. That's way better.
She's like model, totally.
You've taken her picture several times.
She's for the fashion section. She was like striking a pose. Like,
yeah. She does that from time to time. What's new with you? You're in a play.
I am in a play.
That's exciting.
Directed by W. Derek Russell.
We don't need to talk about that aspect of it. You're in A Christmas Carol at Tupelo Community Theater.
I am. This is my first play, Derek.
Ever. This is the first time you've ever done anything on stage.
Yes.
You're a natural.
Thanks.
You're doing fine with it.
See, and what's crazy is there's like a bunch of kids also in the play, and I'm like, I could have never done this when I was their age. Mm-hmm. So I give them tons of credit for being like 12 and like going up on stage and acting, and here I am.
See, I was always forced to do it when I was a kid.
Really?
I hated it. It wasn't until I got in high school that I actually enjoyed. I mean, I majored in theater, so by that point I was actually enjoying it. But as a kid, I didn't want to be up there.
Yeah.
But they actually seem to love it a little bit.
Yeah.
So look for that in December.
In December, A Christmas Carol.
Bob Cratchit's Wife.
When is it? When in December? When
December
can we watch
10th, 11th, and 12th at the Lyric.
How do you get tickets?
You call the Lyric box office at 842-1935. 842-1935. I should know that as the arts and entertainment editor for the paper. Hold, please. 844-1935. TCT box office. You can get your tickets now for A Christmas Carol.
At least go get tickets so you can laugh at everyone, including me, who's trying to do a British accent.
You can laugh at me and come watch me direct, apparently, and you can get a good laugh out of me from what I've seen. Apparently, I'm the laughing stock of the cast.
No.
Throwing chairs?
I haven't thrown any this time.
Yet.
It's just that one time I did that during a show, and I didn't throw it at anybody.
It was one time.
At least it wasn't a kid's show, though, right?
Moving on. Again, didn't throw it at anybody. Yes, it was a children's show. They were asking for it. I can tell you that much right now. That was last year. I was directing a Charlie Brown Christmas, and we were the night before opening night, and nobody knew their lines.
Oh.
So, and they weren't listening
to me.
I think
we're all doing a little bit better than that.
I wasn't getting any respect.
No.
I threw a chair.
Gotta lay down.
Sorry. That's fine. I'm on blood pressure medication since then, so we're doing better.
Yeah.
Anger management.
Good.
That meter maid won't cross me again, I'll tell you that much. All right, well, let's get started with today's show. Scott Morris joining us now. Scott, happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to you all.
Yeah, you had a few stories in today's paper, but this is not uncommon for you to interview veterans. You do that a lot of the time in your local folks and different things.
Yeah, it's been I've been in this business about a quarter of a century now, and so really from the very beginning, I enjoyed talking with folks who had served. Got a lot of nice memories over the years of guys who just tell me their stories. I remember one fellow many years ago in Alabama who was on Okinawa, and he had this this shoeshine box he had made, you know, after the war, because he was still there having to do stuff. And so the I like that, like the mundane side of it too, you know. They had fought, they had done what they had to do, and then all of a sudden, boom, all that. I couldn't imagine the feeling. I mean, imagine just fighting for your life, and all of a sudden, boom, I think I'll make a shoeshine box.
Yeah.
To me, that little detail just has always resonated about some of the stories I've gotten from veterans. I'm not a veteran.
No.
My dad is. My uncle is. We've got people who are. But doing local folks, which is mainly trying to find people in the community who have interesting things to say or stories to tell, and that can be anybody, but often it's a lot of times it's veterans, and they're always enjoyable to talk to. They're just good guys.
Yeah.
Has it put a different perspective for Veterans Day for you? I mean, do you think about it a little bit different or think about some of those guys through the years maybe than you would have before you kind of got into this business, say?
So, like, if you love your life, love your wife, you don't just love her on Valentine's Day. I mean, you love your wife. And then Valentine's Day, you buy her a card because Hallmark tells you to do so, right? And so I think that covering the stories means I get these little moments of thought about Veterans Day. You know, you drive out to see somebody, and then you spend an hour or two or three with them, and then you drive home. And there's plenty of time to think about what they've done. So Veterans Day is a day where I appreciate it. I understand it's there. I'm glad it's there. I'm not against it. But I think I kind of have my little moments of appreciation throughout the year because of doing these stories. You know, like the two stories I have in today's paper, one with Mr. Hollis Powell and one with Tony Shackelford. We, you know, I've known Mr. Shackelford for years. He's been in charge of the Dixie Thunder Run. When they came back from Iraq, when he was deployed, you know, he's a civilian soldier, but he was a full-time soldier in Iraq during that. When he came back, they started the Dixie Thunder Run, and they just had the 10th anniversary. And the thing has raised some $380,000 over the last 10 years. So that's averaging out $38,000 a year to go toward service members and their family who are in distress. And you get it's fun to be a part of that just a little bit, you know, because I've written stories with him, and we've gone out to the 155th and I've seen the big guns and seen their motors, their Harley Davidsons as well, you know. And you know, it's that helping themselves kind of thing. It's helping their brothers, helping their sisters, helping the people who did it. And then being able to talk to them and you know, the journal, that's what the journal does. The journal and I guess the website as well. I mean, we're here for the community. Sometimes we irritate the community, but most of the time, the things we do are like letting you know what's going on. And so it's like, you know, I can go hang out with Tony Shackelford for about 30 minutes and fill my notebook up and then write a story. And then I'll go home thinking, you know, I kind of helped Tupelo today by getting this information out. And so by extension, by what they're doing, by helping them publicize what they're doing, I get a nice feeling from it. And like with Mr. Powell, here's my thing about Mr. Powell. All right, here's my theory that people, when they get really old, they revert to kindergarten. And what I mean by this is when you go talk, I've interviewed kindergartners quite a bit in my career as well. When you're interviewing a kindergartner, they're not five, they're 5 3/4. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be five, they want to be almost six. I'm almost six in 3 months. Well, see, that's the same way once you get to Mr. Powell. He's 89, but he doesn't want to be 89. He's 90 for all intents and purposes. And I tell you what, every 89-year-old will round up on you.
Sure.
And that happens. Now, Mr. Powell, my wife told me about him, and this is something about journalism, I guess, that I don't know if it's good or bad, but I've saved him. I knew he was out there. I'd heard about him, and so I knew Veterans Day was coming. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go talk to him and have a nice, and he'll be our guy, which he is. Mm-hmm. And so I've known about him without actually having met him for, I don't know, 2 3 months, something like that, and knew he was out there. And said, yeah, let's just hold, you know, Veterans Day, we'll do it. And then when I finally got to sit down with him, I hope it comes out in the story. He is a funny, funny guy.
Yeah,
he just, the way he talks about things, he's got a dry sense of humor. And you know, he served our country in World War II, in Korea, and in Vietnam, and then he also was a full-time military beyond that. And so he's been taking his family to Japan and around the country and around the world. And he just, you sit with a guy like that, you know, he's got nothing to prove anymore. It's all, he's done it. And so when he tells his stories, it's just fun to listen. And so, and I enjoy that because I don't know about him, but I know that some of the guys I get to talk to over the years maybe don't get to tell their stories like they want to anymore. And this is kind of the maudlin fact. I mean, 89 is up there and a lot of his contemporaries are gone. And what I've found over the last 25 years is the more time passes, the more those guys from World War II like to talk about what happened. And I think mainly it's because the guys they used to talk about it with are no longer around. You know, I feel like whatever we're doing for the community, also it's fun for me to talk to them. But I think a lot of guys get enjoyment out of telling their story.
It was good timing with the Thunder Chief being placed at Veterans Park to be able to shoot him in front of that for the front page.
Did not plan that at all because I didn't know that he worked on those at all. But they just got that he used to put the munitions, the ammo, and the missiles and the rockets onto F-105s. He talked about that was some exacting work. He talked about how scary that was. Hey, I want to. This is not exactly Veterans Day, but one other story, if I might.
Yeah.
Years ago, I did a story on what happened in the home front in World War II, and what was so amazing to me is I talked to so many women who did not believe they did anything special. You know, even if they were building, even if they were working at a munitions plant, you know, down not far from Wren, I believe. All of the scrimping and saving, all of the having to make do, they said, well, that's just what you did. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were very matter of fact about it. But when you think about myself or the people I know having to, like, live in those situations, they did it, and they were heroes in their own right, supporting the troops and supporting the war and making victory possible. Without what people were doing on the home front back in World War II, and then obviously we see some of the stories over the years, these long deployments people have had to deal with, and how difficult that is on families. But on this Veterans Day, I know it's not Veterans Families Day, but if you're the family of a veteran, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You've dealt with it, and I salute you as well.
I think those spouses and children deserve salutes for their work as well.
They probably deserve their own days. Where the veterans come and give them flowers and stuff, and not Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
They need some other day to where we celebrate their sacrifice and what they've done. And So God bless America.
I agree completely. All right, Scott Morris, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Hey, Scott, and you can also see the Veterans Day section in today's paper. We've got a special section in addition to Scott's story that's on the front. There's also a video of Hollis Powell that you can see on djournal.com.
All right. So today we have Jenna Parsons here to talk about the food section, and I think we're going to start with your food feature. We have, I know a couple weeks ago, the reporter Scott Morris and I were driving around up in Ripley, and we like did a U-turn after we saw this truck and stopped, and we're like, that is really neat. You know, it has all these license plates on and everything is barbecue. And we're like, wait, let's check this out. I think this might be a good story for Jenna. And it turns out we're getting another food truck here in Tupelo.
Yes. Next week, I think is going to be when they come, they're going to try to come a couple of days a week, and they will be offering, it's a mother son, and they've been in the carnival festival fair business for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And they are going to do what they do best, which is barbecue. So they'll be bringing barbecue sandwiches and ribs. Ooh. And homemade pork skins, and be with wherever the other food trucks are.
Okay, that's great. Oh, I could definitely use some pulled pork and slaw. That sounds delicious.
But they also have a brick-and-mortar restaurant still in Ripley.
In Ripley,
and they want to be there on the weekends to serve their customers, but during the week, they want to be on the road.
The food truck, excellent. That's really neat. I say, I love how we have all these food trucks here in Tupelo, so the more the merrier.
I still haven't eaten at one.
Oh, really?
I have not.
Very. So all of them are pretty good. So, well, and then for your column, you're talking about Thanksgiving a little bit. And say, I know your recipe is for green beans. Is that one of your favorite dishes?
We always try to have some type of green bean mm-hmm. dish at Thanksgiving because everybody likes green beans.
Yes.
We try to stay away from green bean casserole just because it's so fattening, although mm-hmm. last year or the year before, we made a green bean casserole, my husband and I, from scratch, where oh, wow. we bought the green beans and blanched them. We made the creamy mushroom sauce. Charlie did the little onion strings for the topping, ooh. And it was absolutely delicious, wow. but it was so time-consuming.
Yeah.
But green beans are easy. Blanch them and then mm-hmm. just put them with whatever. A lot of people like green bean almondine, which some people pronounce almondine incorrectly, but it is green bean almondine, and it's with almonds. But our son Patrick doesn't like almonds, so we can't oh. have that at Thanksgiving. So I'm going to see if I can get him to eat green beans with ginger and garlic this year.
Mm, that sounds good. And like you said, a little lighter compared to some of the dishes yes. you have at Thanksgiving.
Yes, there's very, very little fat in this dish, which means you can eat more gravy and dressing and apple mm-hmm. pie.
That sounds good to me. So, and for the cook of the week, there's a caterer, right? David Barnes?
Right. Okay. He's been in the business, in the catering business, for maybe a year and a half. But he's been in the restaurant business all of his life.
Oh, wow.
Said he started as I've forgotten what it was, a pot scrubber, I think.
At Red Lobster.
Right. Yeah. And then the next step up is the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So that he started at the very bottom. But he made a couple of dishes while we were there, and they were excellent. Thomas Wells was the photographer mm-hmm. that day, and Thomas doesn't care for salmon at all. And David said, well, why don't you try a bite? And Thomas was hesitant. And if I had not restrained Thomas, he would have eaten the whole salmon filet.
Wow.
I mean, it was that good. That salsa that he puts on ooh. Top of it, it was excellent. And he also made a flat iron steak that he had marinated in garlic and olive oil and rosemary. And that was, we both dug ooh. Into that.
And so are those recipes?
The marinades for it, the salsa okay. for the salmon. The marinade for the steak are in there, along with some other recipes that he mm-hmm. has. But I hope David does well, because he definitely has talent.
Mm-hmm. And what's his catering business name?
It's Emma's Catering. He said that when he decided to open a business, someone suggested that he just call it David's Catering, but uh-huh. he thought that was sort of narcissistic. So they named it after their daughter, Emma, oh, who's six.
That's sweet.
And he hopes maybe one day she'll take over the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, thanks, Jenna. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Good show. Good abbreviated
yes.
show today.
Yes. Very
it
quick.
Wasn't because it was you.
Oh.
You just made everything go so much faster than Brad does.
When Brad's back, you guys are just going to, you know, you're like in and out, Lauren. Come on.
So I said at the top of the show I would reveal Brad's middle name.
Oh.
But I don't think it's as sweet with him not here. So
yeah, maybe keep
tune
it.
In next time to find out. Just going to keep doing this for weeks on end, building suspense.
Well, you're at tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So
wait till next mm-hmm. week.
Next week, you'll find out. We'll reveal it on his birthday.
Oh, yeah,
on
in
the
December.
Birthday episode. Really?
I have it on my calendar because he's requested a cake. Like, he's like, oh. you're baking me a cake.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay, I mean, I can
for
do that.
For his 40th.
So. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be 40.
Yeah.
Make it black. With like a little Grim Reaper.
I could put 40 and M&Ms on the top.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I hope he's not listening to this, though.
Do it in bones.
In bones.
Yeah. With okay. a little Grim Reaper stand up with yeah. the sickle and everything.
Yeah.
Should we put signs all over the journal? I remember growing up, people would do that. I don't know if people do that around here as much, but in New Orleans sometimes you'd be driving around and you'd
oh,
see like
yeah,
signs
hill.
On every corner. It'd be like, Lordy, look who's 40. And
they did sure. that with my dad in the front yard. They put a bunch of like little gravestones.
We need to,
if you have over like five blocks, like you'd just keep oh, driving wow. and there'd be another
we
sign.
We need to take out an ad for the classified section.
Yeah, we do.
Find one of his old mugshots with a skinned head. When he would do that. Sorry, Brad.
See if we can get one of his Walmart
his photos. Walmart employee photo. He didn't stick around. You know, he worked at Walmart for 3 weeks, and then
three
he
weeks.
Just stopped showing up. He didn't even quit. He just quit going in.
Still has the vest.
He was
well,
also,
had the vest.
Wow. He was also a DJ.
I did not know all of these mm-hmm. things about Brad Locke.
Well, you find out a lot listening to the memo. I'll tell you that much right now. Tell us a little bit about the...
tell her his DJ name.
Wayne.
Just Wayne?
Just Wayne.
Okay.
That's it. It was St. Louis, apparently. It was not very hip for him to have anything else. It wasn't like DJ Wayne.
Oh, no. That was his country. That was his radio name, not his DJ name.
Yeah, he didn't really have a DJ name, but when he was on a radio country Wayne. Radio station, that was his name on the radio station was Wayne.
Got country.
He didn't want to use his real name. So he chose Wayne. Of all the names could choose to not use your real name, he went with Wayne. God bless Brad Locke. Hey, Lauren, tell us a little bit about the Bridal Journal Expo coming up this weekend.
Yes, this is coming up on Sunday.
November's almost over. Halfway over with
November
already.
15th, yes. It is from VIP hour from 12 to 1, and then the rest of the expo is from 1 to 5, and it's at the Kingfisher Lodge in Verona. VIP is really cool. It's kind of like a little more one-on-one. You get a little VIP treatment. You get like to... kind of just more like it's more quality time with the vendors, things like that. Plus a little added, a couple other perks. And then the rest of the expo, it's going to be great. Like there's going to be a fashion show with different, I know Case Creations and David Bridal. They're going to have dresses and suits. We have like Rod is going to be in the fashion show.
Oh,
and Archie and everything. There's going to be some grand prizes. There's going to be, like I said, the vendors from all over Northeast Mississippi. This isn't just like Tupelo based. This is like all over. So anybody, Ripley wants to come, Houston wants to come. This is a great thing for everybody. Tickets are for VIP. They're $30. Admission online is $15. And at the door, it's $20. You can also get in at the door. So yeah, it should be a really cool event. We're really excited about it.
What do I get for $1,000 grand prize?
You're just going to have to come and find out.
Suspense is killing me. I want to know. I don't think I'm eligible, but just the chance that I could is fantastic enough. So this is great. So register online, bridaljournal.ms/expo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you can still advance tickets up until this weekend, I guess.
I'm pretty sure.
Awesome. Awesome.
And yep, and at the door, too. We're not going to turn anybody
away. We will not turn you away.
Yeah. Sunday. So please come if you or any brides. It'll be a fun day. So.
And the Kingfisher Lodge is over in Verona.
Yes. So. And it's a beautiful, beautiful venue spot.
Check that out as well. We also want to tell you about Thrive Marketing, which is an online full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Chris uses Thrive Marketing.
I do.
Yes, that's true. And then also, we want to tell you about our sister podcast,
Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Daily Journal's newest podcast, Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis. Check it out at doublecoverage.djournal.com, iTunes, and podcast apps. You can also watch a webcast of their discussion each Thursday at djournal.com.
And we'll be back again with that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be after a couple weeks off of the live webcast. As far as I know, everything will be back tomorrow.
We'll be back again tomorrow with a new one there, so that'll be good. So check that out at djournal.com. Of course, you can find us online at memo.djournal.com or on Twitter at djournalmemo. The official Twitter of djournal.com at djournalnow for all your live news. And we'll be back tomorrow. Somebody will.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can be here. Fingers crossed.
We hope so too.
Yes, it's always better with you here.
My friend Kelsey will be really excited too if I can
shout
out to Kelsey. She'll be so excited.
Would you like to sing to her now? Or?
Oh no,
yeah, that's fine. We'll give you the mic if you want to. Anything you want to say or have that. All right, we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.